You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Happy UFC Vegas 23 Eve. Tomorrow, it all goes down at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, the second UFC main card to air on ABC, and it all gets capped off in the middleweight division with Marvin Vettori taking on Kevin Holland in the main event. The main card, really solid. Some interesting fights in the prelims as well. And we're here to talk about it with all of you as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 23 live preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Hack, being joined by the now former Between the Links champion after a hard-fought battle yesterday, Jose Youngs. There he is. We got the Prince of Positivity, Alex K. Lee, in the building. There he is.
Whoa.
And on the one... Wow. Hey, look at that.
Hey, we got to monetize this. We got to monetize this.
Hold on. Yep. Straighten.
Yes. It's too hot for TV.
Too hot.
And we get it. On the ones and twos, Addis Mustache and MMA Media, E. Casey Lydon as well. There he is, just blown away by the ruggedly handsome good looks of Alex K. Lee up in Canada. But listen, we're here to talk about this event with all of you guys. So if you got questions, you got thoughts, there's a fight that sticks out to you that's not getting enough love, we'll give it some love right here on the program. But here we go. AK, middleweight division, once again at the top of the marquee. It will be again next Saturday as well. But we were supposed to see Marvin Vettori versus Darren Till. Darren Till breaks his collarbone. Marvin Vettori smells some tomfoolery there. It's kind of silly, but... here we are. Kevin Holland does what Kevin Holland does. This is why he's banned from on to the next one, because he steps in on short notice at every opportunity. Gets a second main event spot in, what, 3 weeks now? This is crazy. Back-to-back fight night main events for Kevin Holland. Your thoughts on this middleweight matchup on ABC tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, Holland tying the record for quickest turnaround in a UFC main event. Of course, Davison Figueiredo just did it. So he has the record for the pay-per-view main event. He just did it with the Alex Perez fight and the Brandon Moreno fight, UFC 255, UFC 256. Pretty impressive, pretty crazy thing to do. And I'm just imagining people who turned into that first ABC event, who maybe were like not that familiar with UFC and saw Kevin Holland fight in the main event, like, oh, cool. And then like they kind of got into it, like, when's the next event? And then now they're tuning into this. Saw him on ESPN, excuse me. Now seeing him on ABC and it's like, didn't I just see this guy in the main event? And it's, I hope they're not like us and they get hooked on, get used to Holland fighting like every week or every month, excuse me, like we did at the end of 2020, which was fun. But, you know, again, I know people love Kevin Holland, but it's like, he can't fight all the time. He can't fight all the time. So I mean, he probably wants to, but yeah, I don't know. He's creating a tough precedent for himself. But yeah, it's a cool main event. It's a cool replacement main event for, you know, I think we all would have liked to see Darren Till and Marvin Vettori, but a Holland already looking to surpass his five appearances from last year, which is fun to watch.
Jose, we've seen more of a subdued Kevin Holland heading into this fight. you know, he's done some media, hasn't really talked a ton of trash, even though he's been talking trash about Marvin Vettori for months and months and months. Pretty much every single interview I've done with him over the last year and a half, he's mentioned Marvin Vettori and how much he's wanted to fight him. But even in the face-off, Vettori was very animated, saying some stuff. Kevin Holland just rubbing his hands together, not a word to be said. What are your thoughts on the approaches of these two gentlemen on this short notice fight, especially Kevin Holland, who normally likes to talk and hasn't really done a whole lot of talking this week?
The Marvin Vettori being all animated and kind of hyped up and hyper and his emotions just boiling over doesn't surprise me. I've been saying this on pretty much every show we do on this site, that Marvin Vettori is probably the most emotional middleweight out there in terms of hiding his emotions and stuff. Like I've said a million times, he was like screaming at the top of his lungs when his Carl Roberson fight fell out in Jacksonville. And then Sean Shelby had to like approach him cautiously when Carl Roberson struggled with his weight cut when they booked the rematch because he didn't know what Marvin Vettori was going to do. The Kevin Holland thing, it surprised me at first, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, it makes sense in my mind because he's been talking and trying to pick a fight with Marvin Vettori for a long time. Now that he has the fight, what else is there to say? He got the fight. He got what he wanted. The Derek Brunson one, he talked a lot about Derek Brunson, and he was talking all that greasiness, and he was acting kind of funny at the weigh-ins. But that's because that's the longest we've seen Kevin Holland on the shelf between fights in months. So he probably had so much time to think about Derek Brunson. He got real bored. He finally got in front of him. He was like, you know, he just wanted to get it all out there. Didn't really have time between his last few fights, as AK said, like the shortest time between main events for non-pay-per-view. So he's just in there to fight. He got the fight he wanted. What else is there to say? He's going to do a lot of talking on the fight, but maybe Dana White's words still ring in his mind about the whole mental breakdown and this and that. I know he did an interview with our own Damon Martin that he, you know, he gave props to Derek Brunson. And he talked a little bit of greasiness about Vettori, but not as much as he has with you. So it surprised me at first, but the more I thought about it, the more I dwelled on it, it doesn't really surprise me whatsoever.
Casey, Jose brought up an interesting point because even when I talked to Kevin before the Derek Brunson fight, been the longest layoff he'd had in a long time. A lot of time to stew after fighting five times last year. He's fighting almost monthly after the May fight. What do you think about this? Like, do you think this makes Kevin Holland a little more dangerous now that he's kind of back to what we saw in 2020 with him fighting, you know, every few weeks, a month? You know, this isn't like a long training camp. He just kind of gets up, does what he does, gets in the cage and fights, doing the UFC a favor, filling this main event gap spot. What are your thoughts? Does this make Kevin Holland a little more dangerous now that he's kind of back to his old self from last year, as opposed to having a full training camp for this fight?
Is this his quickest turnaround coming off a loss?
It could be.
Do we know that? Okay, because most of all those quick turnarounds are coming off wins. Is he more dangerous? Not really. I mean, I'm kind of bummed he was less talkative. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like that's what we like Kevin Holland for. You know, that's why he didn't get in the UFC, and that's why he's a star, because you know he has that big mouth. I really think it won't mean anything. I think as long as he has no injuries or maybe his body is overtrained from the back to back fight camps, that could be a bad thing or it could be a good thing for him. I'm not really sure. Only he knows, to be honest. And it's really just pure speculation.
Casey, Jose, I'm just glad. So I just want to say I'm glad he's finally taking his career seriously, Casey.
Yeah,
that's what I saw today at the weigh-ins with him not talking. 27 fights into his pro career, 11 fights into his UFC career. Now we will finally see the serious Kevin Holland. So thank goodness. That's all I'm gonna say. Tired of all the talking, Casey. Tired of all the chatter. Yeah.
That's what we are. We don't need that. Yeah. None of the biggest stars in the sport talk. It's just, you know, just get in there and punch.
No, I prefer silence.
Yeah,
from my fighters. Jose,
with Marvin Vettori, you know, with the Holland factor, especially with what he's done in the last year, he's, I don't know if we're calling him the A side here, but most people, since this fight was booked, everyone's kind of talking about Kevin Holland right now. But Marvin Vettori has won four in a row. He's coming off that big win against Jack Hermanson. Obviously, a fight with Darren Till would have been huge for him. You get a guy like Darren Till in your resume, despite what his record has been in the UFC, kind of like Jed talked about him between the links yesterday. Till's a big name got a big following, brings eyeballs, no doubt about that. A win over Till would have been huge for Vettori, puts him in a good position. What does a win over Kevin Holland do for Marvin Vettori right now? Just kind of keep him where he's at right now? Does it maybe set him up for a potential fight with Darren Till once he recovers from the collarbone injury? Like, what does a win over Kevin Holland do for Marvin Vettori right now?
Didn't you see Marvin Vettori's media day scrum? He's the number one contender by default, according to him. So apparently a win over Kevin Holland gets him a title shot and a rematch against Israel Adesanya. No, but in all seriousness, wouldn't hate it because, what, that's five in a row. If Till's hurt, because obviously Israel Adesanya's camp was saying if Darren Till wins, next title shot, no question. So now that Till is hurt and on the sideline for a bit, Paulo Costa's on the sideline for a bit, Derek Brunson got the big win. All of a sudden, a lot of these top middleweights are hurt or booked and moving forward. So the most important thing, as I say every week in all of these weight classes, is activity, especially in this time where, you know, you could, like Kevin Holland made the most of it. Like, he was active a lot, and now he's getting these main events. Marvin Vettori, a win over Kevin Holland, he's active. I can't say that with everyone else in the middleweight division. And a win is a win. Kevin Holland, yes, it would be two in a row and be two losses in a row. But what does that set up? Like, it depends, obviously, if Darren Till can come back by the end of the year. I would absolutely love the Darren Till-Marvin Vettori fight, because if Marvin Vettori beats Darren Till after beating Kevin Holland, I think there's a good argument that he gets title shot. But, of course, Robert Whittaker has to fight Kelvin Gastelum. If Robert Whittaker beats Kelvin Gastelum, he's already deserved a title shot with a win over Jared Cannonier. So maybe that sets up a Vettori-Whittaker fight or a Whittaker-Adesanya fight, and Vettori fights Darren Till on the undercard for the number one contender. Activity and moving forward in this weight class is the most important thing. Regardless of, like, obviously years ago, name value means a lot. But now in this pandemic era, activity is king. And moving forward, that is the most important thing.
Would agree with you 100%. Now we get down to the brass tacks, as the kids say, AK. Your thoughts, your pick, main event. How does this night end? Does it end with Kevin Holland getting his hand raised, or does it end with the surging Marvin Vettori getting his hand raised?
Oh, no. Oh, gosh, I haven't done my thorough in-depth predictions yet. I haven't stopped believing Kevin Holland. Look, I was one of the most critical people of all the chitter chatter, all the gavity going on in the last fight. I was bothered by it. I'm not saying it affected his performance. I'm just saying I remember I did not enjoy it. And I was, and for the record, consistent with my view of Kevin Holland. I didn't love it when I liked all of his in cage talking kind of when I first saw him. I liked him more when he started winning fights, and I don't know. I don't love it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just not the biggest fan. But I still believe in his talents. I still think he's such a wild card. And like, I've picked against him before. I don't think I picked him to beat Jacare. So, and I did pick him to beat Brunson. So I'm not turning on that just because of what I saw in the Brunson fight. Obviously he was beaten by a more experienced, better fighter that day. So I still like his chances, and I like Vettori a lot too, but I think Holland's going to surprise people. I just think there's something to him. There's so much talent. On any given day, I do think he really is a guy who is a threat to like anyone in the top 10 in middleweight. And in this case, it's Vettori who's in his sights. So I think Holland's going to knock him out. This isn't not an in-depth analysis. I'm just feeling this one. I'm going on a limb. Holland by KO.
Casey.
You know, I'm feeling what AK feels. I think Holland will bring out that big mouth on fight night, and it will make angry Marvin Vettori even angrier, and he will use that Kevin will use that to his advantage, and he will counter him and he will knock him out. And Kevin Holland somehow will be ranked above Derek Brunson come Sunday.
Very possible. Jose, You rolling with Kevin Holland, or does Marvin Vettori make it five straight?
Marvin Vettori makes it five straight. I like Kevin Holland as a fighter. I think he's a high action fighter. I don't have any problems with his talking. Win or loss, I like, do you, man, as long as you're having fun in there. I just think Marvin Vettori is a better fighter, and I think he's one of the more underrated middleweights in the world. And this sounds like exactly what I said in the Derek Brunson fight. I just thought Derek Brunson was an overall better fighter than Kevin Holland. He won. I just think Marvin Vettori is a better fighter than Kevin Holland. Marvin Vettori is also a massive middleweight. He is a big, thick guy. He's not making weight on short notice anytime soon. Kevin Holland's not even remotely a big middleweight. He's a welterweight, as Casey has said. He's called for him to drop to welterweight since his first win in 2020. So I think Marvin Vettori is better. I think he's bigger. I think he's has all the momentum right now, and he has a lot to prove. He's incredibly furious, and a furious Italian, as someone who dates an Italian, is a terrifying person. So I'm going with the angry Italian is going to be Kevin Holland and move forward in the middleweight division.
See, he thinks angry Italian will be good. I think the angrier Italian will be turned into a negative. So, you know, we'll have to see on Saturday.
And also, Chelsea, how would you? I'm sure you never make her mad. You would never make her mad. How would you know? How would you know? You never make her upset.
We're going to go with that narrative.
Jose, do you think it would be the striking or the wrestling of Vettori that will be the difference?
I just think he's just better all around. Is all Kevin Holland more accurate striker than Marvin Vettori? 100%. I think Marvin Vettori is a harder hitter. I think he's a better grappler. I think he – like training – also, let's not forget, Kings MMA is in a phenomenal gym. So he's going to have – like his like main training partner is Kelvin Gastelum. So that high-pressure, moving-forward action fighter – that's Marvin Vettori does that like 10 rounds a day in the gym. So I just think Marvin was in a camp preparing for Darren Till. Yes, it's a different style of fighter completely because Darren Till is obviously a counter striker. Kevin Holland's going to walk and like slap you in the face and talk all this trash. I just think Marvin is better all around outside of accuracy. I just don't think like there are obvious fighters when Kevin Holland fights, he can hit you real hard and put you down. Like, we saw that with Derek Brunson. I can't remember a time when Marvin Vettori was like really, really just crippled inside the octagon where he's like, oh crap, Marvin Vettori is, as Darren Till said, did you see that real long Instagram post he said where he was like making fun of how he looked and everything? He said, you're a slow middleweight who's incredibly tough. So Darren Till is even aware of that. I just think all the apples are in Marvin Vettori's camp right now, and I just think he's going to win. I just think he's better all around outside of accurate striking, but I think accuracy is not going to be enough for Kevin Holland on Saturday.
One thing I forgot to note, I am curious if Holland will learn from his 5-round experience with Brunson just like 2 weeks ago, and how he's gonna pace himself. Because I wonder if he, I don't know if he, I didn't see any of his pre-fight interviews, but did he talk about the, did he not pace himself right in the Brunson fight? Like maybe he thought he was going to get tired too soon, so he started off slower. Did he say anything about that? I'm just curious.
Don't believe it was a pacing thing. I think he was like Derek Brunson won fair and square.
Yeah, but I wonder. These are things we don't know. I'm very curious to find out on Saturday. That's why I do like this fight. I think it's a fun fight. It's just not the fight that, you know, we were expecting. I think.
Yeah, am curious to see if Kevin Holland, like I said after his Brunson fight, I feel like he got a lot of openings to take advantage of that he just didn't. Like when he would get Kevin, when he would like clinch up with Brunson or get like he had opportunities for submission attempts or knees or strikes, and he would like stop at step two. And he wouldn't move forward. Maybe that's into what Casey was saying. Like he didn't want to just blow his gas like right away with like a bunch of knees. But I felt like I'm watching the fight and I'm not his coach. I'm like, I see 500 things you could have done. You just stopped. So maybe he doesn't do that. I don't know. I'm not a Kevin Holland's camp.
Right now, Marvin Vettori, -350 favorite. The comeback on Kevin Holland, +290. So not a lot of faith in Kevin Holland.
That is wild.
The betting window as we speak. But I'm kind of.
Let me look.
If you guys look at that.
81% Vettori.
Yeah, we'll make it 81.1% Vettori because I'm going with Marvin as well. If this thing plays out in space for a while, Kevin Holland, this is the best chance Kevin Holland has to win. But I just don't know. Like, I don't see a world where Marvin Vettori doesn't do pretty much exactly what Derek Brunson did. Like I just fighting Kevin Holland any other way is just a horrible idea. Like you should just throw him against the cage and take him down and just beat him that way. Like you have an opening and I just don't know how, and I know Kevin Holland knows he needs to work on his defensive wrestling and stuff like that, but you can't work on it in 2 weeks. Like you can't improve that much. And like the one thing I'll give Kevin Holland in this fight is that the activity is huge for him. Like he's doing a favor. Feels like he probably feels like he has very little to lose here. Like, he just wants to fight. Like, it's not about titles. It's not about going up in the rankings. It's about fighting as much as possible. So this is good for Kevin Holland. So this is probably like the best mindset he could have heading into a fight with a guy like Marvin Vettori. I just don't see, after fighting five rounds 2 weeks ago, coming back, fighting a guy who has somewhat similar attributes to Derek Brunson. Like, Derek Brunson just basically wrote the blueprint on how to beat him. I just don't see a world where he doesn't do very similar work. So Vettori wins a decision in my eyes. I think Kevin Holland will have his moments. He had his moments against Brunson in the second round, but at the end of the day, I think Vettori gets it done.
Do you think
moves on to other things?
Do you think Vettori will fight like Brunson in the sense that he just needs to get that W? Or do you think Vettori goes, oh, I have to win. I got to finish this guy. I got to win big and impressive. Because I feel Brunson won so dominantly because he was like, I just need a W. And I don't think Vittori's that same guy, that same type of fighter. And I think that's going to be work against him in this fight.
I think he'll take more chances than Derek Brunson did, but I have a feeling he's going to want to take this fight to the ground as often and as much as possible. You know what I mean? As many times as he can get this fight to the ground and get takedowns and work Holland against the cage and try to wear him down. Like, I think we're going to see that, but I think he'll be a little more offensive, especially in like Holland's guard or, you know, trying to improve position. I don't think he's going to be okay with just like sitting in the guard and trying to land the occasional strike and, you know, just doing enough to make sure the referee doesn't stand him up. I think he's going to try to be more active down there, try to look for finishes. Like, he's going to look for finishes, but I just feel like he's not going to stand around and have a kickboxing match with Kevin Holland as much as he can. Like, he's going to try to avoid that as much as possible. Like, you take the path to least resistance, but he's going to be more aggressive than Derek Brunson. But I feel like we're going to see something more similar, but Vettori will have more violent intention.
Arnold Vettori only has two knockouts in his career. So I don't know why a lot of people I've seen on Twitter saying Marvin by TKO. And it's very hard to stop Kevin Holland with strikes anyway. Like, Marvin
Vettori has ever done
nine submission. Marvin Vettori has nine submission wins, and like two or three of them are in the UFC, including his debut. So if Marvin Vettori is gonna stop Kevin Holland, it's gonna be by submission, I think. So I don't think it's gonna be a TKO by any means. I like even Jack Hermanson. Like, Marvin Vettori shattered Jack Hermanson's jaw and couldn't finish him with strikes. So I just think Marvin, if he wins is by stoppage, it'll probably be by submission.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I did pick Holland. I do think Vittori's path to victory is the ground game for sure. Just using that size.
Only 14% of the 81% who picked Vettori are saying knockout, and the 19% who are picking Holland, I guess including me, are all thinking he needs to get lucky. He needs to catch him, because it's 74% of the people picking Holland are going KO TKO. So I guess that's the mindset is Holland needs to catch him. It'll be. Some luck will be involved, as you know, with respect to both guys. Some luck will be involved if Holland.
Yeah, I would assume Kevin Holland's like striking accuracy and speed would maybe just like, oh shit, like Marvin just gets clipped once and like takes a step back, and Kevin just needs to blitz forward, which he didn't do against Brunson, if he clips him.
Yeah, and if there's one, take chances. And Kevin Holland is a guy who can create fight-changing moments. And it's not just creating the moment, it's capitalizing on the moment too. If he can do that, he's okay. He has a chance. But it's just, we saw it in the Brunson fight. He had a chance to get that fight-changing moment. He almost got it. And then, you know, Brunson took him down and that was it. So we'll see. It's an interesting fight. There's heat here. I kind of wish like there's a little more build for a fight like this, since it's been brewing for so long, especially from Holland's end, but we get it. I think we're going to get kind of the best case scenario, kind of Kevin Holland heading into a fight on short notice and just trying to go in there and play spoiler, but we'll see what happens. Fun.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Right, but this co-man event, whoo, this is a fight. I think because Bellator's got a card tonight too. Their featherweight fight, I think, is the best fight on the card between Adam Borch and Jeremy Kennedy. The best fight of the weekend, in my opinion, is Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef. I am so excited for this fight. Right now, Sadiq Youssef, the -150 favorite against Arnold Allen. The comeback on him is at +130. Jose, you love this fight. For those who missed Between the Links, wax poetically on this co-main event because it just kicks ass, man.
This fight checks all my boxes. I love, like, featherweight division has been, like, historically one of my favorite, if not my favorite, weight classes of all time. I don't consider these, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, this is a prospect fight. I don't really consider this a prospect fight at all. They're both ranked fighters. They're both undefeated in the UFC. They both have, what, 4 or 5 wins in a row over impressive wins, and I think this is the perfect time for these two to fight. Arnold Allen seems to be one of those guys that the UFC could build around in the UK, especially if Darren Till is always on the shelf. They don't really have, like, Jack Hermanson has fallen. A lot of people in Europe, there's no real big star, and I think Arnold Allen is sneakily could be one of those fighters. Leon Edwards, of course, is one of those two. I think the pandemic obviously hurt him, plus his opponents always falling out. It's not his fault. He can't catch a break. I watched your interview with Arnold Allen, and he really sold me on why this fight is awesome because, A, Sadiq Youssef is from another part of the world, Nigeria, that the UFC is really trying to push forward. So if he beats Arnold Allen and is another undefeated Nigerian like fighter they can really push, there's no excuse for them not to go to at least Africa in some way in 2000, maybe 22, when the world kind of calms down. But Arnold Allen's like laid it out perfectly. Like all the fighters he has gotten in the UFC are going to try and shoot on him, and he really has to be defensive minded, like defensive striking, defensive wrestling, defensive grappling, and he's done well as he's undefeated. And someone from the UK using defensive grappling as well as him is obviously impressive because, as we all know, like people from the UK, I'm sorry, England, you're not the best wrestlers or grapplers in the world. But Arnold Allen is kind of proving that argument wrong. So he's very excited to fight someone that he doesn't have to worry about shooting on him. So I think we're going to see a style of with Arnold Allen that we haven't seen, and we're going to get to see more of his tools. So I have no idea who to pick in this fight because I like both fighters. They're both great interviews. They're both great people. And I wish this was 5 rounds, but I do think this is the perfect co-main event for this card on ABC. Checks all my boxes. High-level martial arts competition against two gentlemen that can just beat your ass at any time. This is a Jose fight all around.
Absolutely. AK, your thoughts on this fight, because we got Sadiq Youssef, who's looked great. He's part of the greatest contender series fight ever with Mike Davis. That fight was ridiculous. Oh. If you've never seen that, I highly recommend you go watch Sadiq Youssef versus Mike Davis. It's insane. And then we have Arnold Allen, who quietly 9 wins in a row. He's 7-0 in the UFC. He is the second longest winning streak in the featherweight division behind the champion, Alexander Volkanovski. So this is definitely not a prospect fight. This is two guys. This is a next, who's going to take that next step in a loaded division kind of fight. Your thoughts on Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef, man?
You threw me off with that second longest, because I think Volkanovski's what, 1-8, but one of them was a catchweight bout, something like that, right?
You can count it.
He's 8, because he's what, 8-0? Well, normally I would, but he's what, 8-0?
So otherwise
they're tied. He's undefeated in the UFC, right?
He has nine wins in the UFC.
He's 9. Oh, okay. So he is behind Volkanovski with 8. Okay. What was the question? Oh, yes. Oh, first, I want to say Youssef fits the prospect mold a little bit more. Like, I understand why people. Yeah. Arnold Allen, definitely not. I don't understand anyone calling Arnold Allen the prospect at this point. I get it. He's still relatively young, but he's about, this will be 9 years now. 9 years as a pro, 7-0 in the UFC. You're not a prospect anymore. Youssef, a little more so. This will be 5 years. I think next week it'll be 5 years since his pro debut. So sure. But both guys, I mean, Yusuf definitely feels seasoned beyond his years. Like he looks like someone who's been fighting for at least 7 or 8 years. So it's a great match. I love this kind of matchmaking. You know, Mike, we always talk about our matchmaking show. I'm not one of those people who shies away from putting guys who are unbeaten in the UFC against each other. I love that. It makes a little more sense with these two because they are further along. This isn't like a 2-0 guy or a 3-0 guy going against another 2-0, 3-0 guy. But even then, we've seen them shy away. You know, we've seen them kind of be like, the idea that you lose a contender, you lose a future contender by putting them against one another. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think whoever loses here, it's like fair play. They'll probably bounce back. They lost on this day, you know, on Saturday, but I don't think they'll fall too far back in the rankings. I think each guy still has a super bright future ahead of them. I'm leaning towards Arnold Allen. I know Jose said it's tough to pick. Absolutely, it's a coin toss. I don't feel strongly about this. I'm leaning towards Arnold Allen. I liked what I saw in the win over Nick Lentz. Jorge Melendez, I know a little bit past his prime, but you know, dominated that matchup as he should have. So yeah, I'll lean towards Allen. But boy, this is one of those anything could happen fights. Clear fight of the night front runner. And a great, great choice for the co-main event, especially one on ABC. This is a really good opportunity for these guys to shine. This is a star-making moment, possibly.
It's funny because like everybody talks about the long layoff that Arnold Allen has had, but Sadiq Yusuf has been out longer, not by much longer, but he's been out a week longer than Arnold Allen.
A week, yeah.
Both guys have been fought since January of 2020, but I feel like Arnold Allen's approach at this point is a little different than it was when he first got into the UFC, Casey, because this is a guy who was just, you know, I'm in the UFC, I got to take what they could give me. Heading into that January fight with Nick Lentz, who's supposed to fight Josh Emmett, which was a top 10 guy. Emmett got hurt.
I forgot about that.
Lentz comes in on short notice. Allen gets the win. Then he's supposed to fight Jeremy Stephens in November. Stephens gets injured. I know there were different fights offered to him. I know Giga Chikadze was one of those individuals that was offered to him. He said, you know what? Cool fight, bro, but I'm a top 10 guy. I need a ranked guy. I'm sick of fighting these like unranked guys, dangerous fights. I want a ranked guy. So he waited, stayed patient, and now he gets a fight with Sadiq Yusuf. So this is just an awesome fight, man. Like your thoughts on this co-main event and, you know, two guys with long layoffs. It's pretty much even Steven here.
I like this fight. I'm not in love with these two featherweights as much as everyone else is. I like Arnold Allen to win this fight. I think he's just a better fighter overall. But no, they've been out for a long time. Maybe Sadiq Yusuf. Maybe they've just gotten a lot better. I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah, it's a good fight. I like Dern and Nunes. Dern and Nunes better. I think that should be actually the co-main event. But this is a fine. It's gonna be a high action fight. This probably will be fight of the night. But the only problem with this fight is I think this is the second best featherweight fight of the weekend. And you mentioned it earlier. I actually like the Bellator fight between Kennedy and Adam Borch as a higher level fight. But this is a fine fight, and it's a great fight night card.
A fine fight, he says.
It is. I mean, I'm not in love. I like Arnold Allen, but I like the Bellator fight better. I think as far as two. If they all fought round robin, you know, I think Adam Borch would be the best one of all four. But
interesting. That is an interesting take right there. Well, listen, both of those fights are the two best fights of the weekend, in my opinion. So
yeah, I'm excited for them. I'm not trying to down it. I just think there's a better fight. I mean, it is a great fight.
I think you are trying to down it.
Oh, Casey. Yeah.
Are you part of the Bellator rankings panel? Yeah. Are you part of the Bellator rankings panel, Casey?
Don't get me started on that, but I'm going Arnold Allen too in this fight. I think Yusuf, if this fight's going to get finished, I think Yusuf's the guy to get the finish, and that's not out of the realm of possibility. I just think Allen is the more technical guy. He's fine down the stretch. Like he can go a full 15, doesn't struggle with it. We kind of saw Sadiq Yusuf kind of fade away in the Andre Feely fight. He still got the win, but Feely started to turn it on. I think Arnold Allen took a lot away from that fight. So I think down the stretch, especially if it's like 1-1 heading into the third, I think Arnold Allen's kind of been in those situations a little bit more and can come through in a better way. So I think Allen wins a decision. I think it's a great fight. And I'm very much looking forward to it. The betting line's very close. Like we said, that we got Mackenzie Dern versus Nina Nunes. Nina Nunes is a minus 140 favorite. Before that, or after that, right before the co-main event, Julian Marquez, minus 185 favorite against Sam Alvey, comes back at plus 160. And then Daniel Rodriguez, the minus 140 favorite against Platinary Papa Perry. Come back on him as a plus 120. Of course, the undercard is interesting. We lost a fight. Erin Blanchfield versus Norma Dumont is not happening. Dumont missed weight by 3.5 pounds. The commission said, and that fight's no longer happening. So, AK, you had some thoughts on that.
I do have some thoughts and an update from, of course, our man, our the Brazilian beast, Guilherme Cruz, of course, has already spoken to Norma Dumont. And she says, as you just mentioned, the commission did not allow her to fight. And apparently, this is from Dumont, apparently the UFC will send me to the PI to run some tests and find out the best way for me to cut weight. They will do some studies with me and see how I'll continue this weight class, because I believe they really will close the featherweight division. I'm pretty upset I wanted to fight. So it doesn't sound like, at least as far as she knows, that featherweight is an option. Again, we don't know if that's the case. It could continue, but obviously there's always talk of that division, that quote unquote division, if there even is one, being shut down. So I guess she hasn't given up. I'm trying to make 135, but yes, this is her second straight fight, weighing in at 139.5 pounds. She was also 3.5 over for her bout with Ashley Evan Smith. And you know, I don't think she can make bantamweight comfortably, but the people at the PI can work wonders. Maybe there is actually a good explanation why she hasn't been able to make 136. And so maybe this isn't the end of seeing her. But it's a shame that we didn't get to see the UFC debut of Erin Blanchfield, who is a top prospect at flyweight. Could have been the Invicta flyweight champion entering this bout, were it not for a fight with Pearl Gonzalez falling through for a vacant title. And yeah, Mike, you mentioned I have some thoughts. I think that she may have dodged a bullet here. I don't think Dumont is a bad fighter at all, and she would have been much, much bigger than a Blanchfield. I think it would have been a very tough debut for Blanchfield. So hopefully, obviously, she's now on the UFC roster, I assume, and gets a proper flyweight debut whenever she's ready to fight again.
Yeah, but Vegas had Dumont minus 250 favorite, so they kind of saw the same thing that you did. And then before the main card, Jim Miller versus Joe Selecki is a great fight. Scott Holtzman versus Matush Gamrod is a ridiculous fight.
I like that fight,
Jack Shore versus Hunter Azure is a great fight. Daun Jung versus William Knight's fun. There's something for everybody on this card. There's crazy fights. There's heavyweights. There's middleweight fights. There's a little bit of everything. And I think every combat sports fan can take solace in that. So do we have thoughts and questions from the peeps?
Oh yeah.
Have we been live this whole time? Oh my God. Oh, this is embarrassing.
All right, here we go.
We've been talking for a while. Damn. Yeah. Say no, AK. Just say
it. No, it is not. It's not my birthday.
What?
No, I know. I said, yeah, I appreciate the wishes. No, it is not my birthday.
What? Oh,
it is never,
okay.
It is never my birthday.
I just sent one of those like edible, you know, bouquet things of like
I mean, it's welcome.
Honeydew and stuff. So yeah. It's going to be arriving anytime. So it's going to be awkward.
I won't be sending. No, it's not awkward at all. I won't be sending it back. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
I'll be enjoying it.
Here we go.
Go ahead, AK. Say it. Start it off.
Oh, Matt Magic. Shout out to Duval. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. So if Marvin Vettori wins and Kelvin Gastelum beats Bobby Knuckles, does Vettori get the title shot? Or does the UFC do UFC things and just give the title shot to Darren Till? it's not a ridiculous question either, by the way. So let's launch it this way, AK. If Vettori wins, is the best case scenario for him? Is he the biggest Kelvin Gastelum fan on the planet after that?
If Vettori wins, is he the? I'm sorry, I blacked out for a second. Look, we touched upon this a bit earlier in the show. A lot is going to kind of have to fall into place for Vettori to get that next title shot. He's made the case. He fought Izzy to a split decision and all that. There is a segment of fans, by the way, that say Vettori won that fight.
No,
that same segment where Just
the segment of Marvin Vittori's family? What?
That same segment that anytime there's a split decision, like within a year, though, people will look back on the split decision and be like, I kind of remember that fight. Yeah, it was split. Maybe the other guy did win. It's like, no, if you watch that fight, it's a pretty clear win for Israel Adesanya. And like, again, and not that Vittori didn't give him a good fight. It was Adesanya's toughest test up until that point, but Adesanya won. But yeah, no, I do think that that an impressive win here, as we've said, if he can not just ground out a win, but maybe score a submission and have himself a nice promo. We've seen how far a good promo can go. Michael Chandler, right? He's fighting for the lightweight title now. So if he can channel that Italian fire that Jose keeps touching upon into a good promo, this is on ABC. We don't know what the effect ABC will have on guys' careers so far, but it's a big deal. It's pretty cool to say if you won by submission on a headline in an ABC card, it has to mean something. It has to give you some sort of mainstream cachet. And if that's the case, look, he puts himself right in that short list for a title shot. Maybe right not at the front, no matter what happens, but with the other fights that have to shake out. But at least in the talks, and again, if we know how negotiations go, he's probably a guy who's willing to take the fight for a reasonable price, according to what the UFC views that. So I don't know. I think his odds of getting a title shot this year, I'll say, you know what, better than 50%.
All right. Your thoughts on this question, Jose.
Better than 60%. Better than 60%. I'll go that far.
Wait, 60% that Vittori will get
this year. This year. Better than 60%.
Well, to answer your question, Mike, is Marvin Vittori the biggest Calvin Gastelum fan in the world? Hey, yes, because they're training partners, so it's not like he's going to root against him. So 100%,
yeah, you know what I mean.
Marvin Vittori wants Calvin Gastelum. Fair point.
This is a selfish game at the end of the day, Jose. It's a selfish game at the end of the day.
It is, but according to an interview on MMAfighting.com with Calvin Gastelum and Marvin Vittori, they're only fighting if it's for a title. So that fight could happen if one of them gets the UFC championship. So if Kelvin Gastelum wins, I think that just means Marvin Vittori is maybe a step ahead of Kelvin in this race. It was kind of like at that one point when Jeff Neal and Morono were fighting. They were both like on these runs at welterweight. And we interviewed Alex Morono in Houston, and he was like, Jeff Neal is one step ahead of me, and we're only going to fight if Jeff gets that title first and I catch him. I just think right now Marvin, considering he's on a win streak, is one step ahead of Kelvin. So if Kelvin wins, that is clearly going to benefit Marvin Vittori, because like I think we all agree, Robert Whittaker probably already deserves a rematch with Israel Adesanya to begin with after back-to-back wins over Till and Jared Cannonier, and people just seem to forget about Jared Cannonier's existence in this whole middleweight landscape. So yes, Marvin Vittori wants Kelvin to win, A, because they're friends and teammates, and B, because that would knock off a contender for him to go through and would probably just elevate him higher up in this race to rematch Israel Adesanya.
All right, Casey, let me ask you this. Say Vittori wins, does everything AK said he needs to do, and Kelvin Gastelum wins. Can Darren Till still get that title shot without even fighting?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Will he? Do you think if it comes down to that?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I hate resorting back to those, like, well, whoever takes less money gets the title shot. But I mean, yeah, I think Till is still the front runner for the next title shot against Izzy. But I also think, if Kelvin puts a good beating on Whittaker and defeats him, I don't expect that to happen. But if he does, why are we discounting Kelvin being behind the line with Vittori? I mean, why wouldn't the UFC want to run back the greatest middleweight championship fight ever?
I would, and I know we're trying to find logic in the UFC's.
I know. Sorry. I apologize for that.
But I would assume it's because Kelvin lost a boring fight to Darren and he got submitted by Jack, and Vittori just shattered Jack Hermanson's jaw in five rounds on a short notice fight. So if that's the argument they're going to take, I also don't think Kelvin, after watching Damon's interview with Kelvin, I don't think Kelvin would be one of those guys that would want to like screw over Marvin. Cause like he was very complimentary of Marvin. He's like, I don't want it to be an Usman burn situation, but they've discussed it. But from that interview, I pulled that. If they offered it to Marvin, I don't think Kelvin would want to kind of backstab his main training partner and take that fight. But I don't know. That's just what I pulled from it.
So clearly what's going to happen is Holland's going to win, mm-hmm. Kelvin's going to win, and then we're going to have Izzy versus Holland. That's obviously the fight that's going to happen.
100%.
Oh, man. All right, what else we got? So Darren Till's still the front runner.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that one, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, sorry, that was a mistake. All right.
Best producer in the biz.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Where does the winner of Alan Yusuf go in the featherweight division with the division stuck for about a year due to Volk Ortega coaching tough? I mean, I'm not going to answer this question because this is a Sunday question.
Yeah,
it is. I'll at least take a look at it. Hold on. I'm bringing up my mystery rankings right now. Yeah, I won't necessarily say who they'll fight. I don't even know if we could because,
neither guy is top 10 yet, right?
Alan is. I believe he's 10th.
Sadiq's 11.
Okay.
So, like, the right thing.
Right.
It's 10 or 11.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Dan Ige and Zombie are booked, so that's not happening.
I think the answer is Cater.
Yeah.
I think because Calvin.
Did he say he's taking his time? I'm coming back, though, right? I mean.
Sure.
And we also, won't see.
But then after, who's Jeremy Stephens fighting? Does he have a fight?
He's going back
to the fight, right? Jakar Close.
Lightweight.
You want.
Right. So he's out. And then Ige's, what, 7 or 8? And then, so he's already booked. And then Emmett's out to 2022. Calvin would be the next man up for one of these winners. And I think that's a great fight. I think that's
awesome. Well, the other option is, and we probably will end up talking about this on Sunday, Mike. Again, it depends what happens tomorrow. Probably one of them gets the Zabit fight if Zabit comes back. But we honestly have no idea what's up with Zabit or when he's coming back. So that's pure speculation.
He's going to fight eventually, right? He's still there somewhere.
He's still out there.
He can tell if he lets USADA know where he is.
I have a feeling whoever wins, I'll say this, what's next is probably a bit of a wait. Which sucks because, again, like we said, both guys are coming off a layoff of almost 450 days. So they probably want to get in there as soon as possible. So it's either they have to wait for someone in the top 10. And when I say wait, I mean like 5-6 months. I know that sucks to hear, but or the option is fight someone below them, which I think Arnold Allen definitely shouldn't do if he wins because he'll be 8-0 and he'll see 10 straight victories. And Yusuf maybe could consider it, but even he would be 5-0 in the UFC, 7 straight victories. So they're just kind of stuck. But I would say you'll see you won't see them for a while. They'll have to wait.
Who's Burgos fighting? Barbosa?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Winner of that would be
maybe
great.
The winner of that
fun too. But that's a little bit more because they're both outside the top 10. I don't know. So a win would have put him in the top 10. That would be a fun fight too. Or the loser maybe of Ige and Zombie.
Do you think there's any chance the UFC really gets behind the winner of this fight? And I think there's promotional reason to get seriously behind either guy, that they could shoot him throw him in the deep end, book him against someone like Max Holloway.
That's up to Max. I wouldn't hate either of those fights. I just think it would be up to Max at that point.
It's 45. You can't really mess up. Yeah.
Yeah, Zabit's 3, so like either of those. Like if they did Max and Zabit fight, because they're both top 5s, they don't have a fight. And Yair is still on the shelf, and Zombie's booked. So I think a Holloway-Zabit is a fun fight, and I think Cater versus the winner of Allen and Yusuf is a fun fight.
Yeah, there's no protecting.
Nice little featherweight tournament we got going on.
Those, if only they actually had those in the UFC. But yeah, there's no protecting your record when you at the top 20 of the featherweight division in the UFC. There's no protecting your record. It's you're giving something up, or just stay busy, or you're gonna have to wait for a big fight. But either way, you're fighting someone tough, and there's no padding.
Yeah, you know, with Volk Ortega most likely not happening till the third quarter at minimum, I think, this year. Like, I know, it sucks even saying that. So, say it doesn't happen until, like, November, I think we're going to get some crazy matchups in featherweight. Because there's no, they're just fighting, really. Because, you know what I mean? Like, no one, you're kind of fighting just to keep your rank. So, I think we are going to have some crazy matchups coming this year in featherweight division, for sure.
Maybe, maybe featherweight's going up to 155, like we talked about on
Twitter. Might have to.
I think.
Yeah.
Look, can you imagine July 10th, the co-main event of Poirier McGregor 3? You do Holloway versus freaking Gaethje, five rounds? Are you kidding me? That's the fight. That's the fight to make, folks.
I can't believe you said it again. That's the fight. Oh, it's so good.
Don't tease me, Mr. Heck. It's don't so do good. That. Don't do that to me.
Guys, look what is like hovering around the bottom of the top 20 in featherweight. Dawadu, Evloev, Giga Chikadze. This is crazy. This division is crazy.
So good. Just
give me,
so good.
Give me Giga Chikadze versus Hakeem Dawadu all day.
Oh, what?
Yes.
What a division.
Oh, my God.
If only they could get all these featherweights and put them in some sort of tournament, like a some sort of pre, but a grand one. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But who would do that? What major promotion would do that, though? You know.
Yeah,
Casey, tell us. You're PR at Bellator.
What do you mean?
Promotion. No, just giving you shit.
Clearly. Adam Boyd. Right, what else we got? Dude, Jamie Kennedy is super good. He only had one loss in the UFC. He lost to freaking Volkanovski. You know, that's crazy.
It's a good fight.
Travesty.
It's an excellent
travesty.
Fight.
That Bader Machida fight is tonight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, Carmouche and Porto are fighting. It's like, Cazangano's fighting. It's a good card. I'm excited about it.
Shout out to Duval. People, Duval is not a question, all right? Duval is a state of mind. So I appreciate the Duval chat.
In a few weeks. So let's wait for all these crap Duval.
Oh, then it's really good. Yeah. People, can we put a moratorium on Duvals until Jose is actually in Duval County, please? More time. I'm not shouting out anymore.
Duval is a state of mind. We are always there.
No, always, this is true. But it's fair, but. All right, like someone's actually going to have to be there soon. So.
How many tattoos do you reckon Perry and Rodriguez have combined?
One giant one. This is a scrap between a dude with a throat tattoo and a dude with a face tattoo. Like, I'm into it, man. This is like, you know, when your grandma's like, oh, MMA is for those scary people. Like, yeah, this is the fight that she thinks all UFC fights on. And I think this is a perfect fight to kick off UFC at ABC.
Mike Perry's opening it, Kevin Holland's closing it. That's great.
Love it.
No, I like that. I love the idea of that. No, like UFC is like, we're gonna have this Venom Reebok fight kit, so everything doesn't look like it's all NASCAR. It looks more professional. Yet we have Mike Perry. Like, it's like, okay. Sure, they're wearing.
You look good on the scale today. You look good. Second one up there, I think. Second or third one. He hit 170 on the nose. So
good for him.
Speaking of him. This is now a tattoo podcast. Okay, whose tattoos enough. Do you like more in the main event, Kevin's or Marvin's? It's two completely different styles.
Oh, Marvin. I'm sorry, Kevin's. Kevin's for sure.
If you like cohesive sleeves, or do you like the sticker tats? That's pretty much what you gotta pick.
Yeah. I like tattoos. You can tell what neighborhood you're from.
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, I know where you live. I can tell by your chest tattoos.
So the answer is several.
So,
Terrence Leverett, if Dern gets past Nunes, is she one fight away from a title fight?
Absolutely. I think absolutely. That's
not out of the realm of possibility.
No way. Yeah.
I think this is such good matchmaking by the UFC.
Perfect.
Because agree, especially with Miss Nunes, her I gotta get used to saying that now. Nunes' high ranking and with her long layoff, we honestly don't know how she's going to look tonight. She you know, even though she's ranked number five, she may not be really a number five ranked fighter anymore just due to, you know, just having a baby. Or she could be better. Who knows? But I think this is a great chance for Dern to kind of take advantage of that. And the UFC has been on the Mackenzie Dern train for a while. So yeah, if she beats Nunes convincingly, heck yeah. And I'll be super impressed, honestly, because I'm not expecting her to. But if she does, wow. She has defied my expectations.
I think the only thing that would keep, like, she might be two, just the way the lay of the land, because the person that beat Mackenzie, Amanda Ribas, just got TKO'd by Marina. So I think they might be one behind Marina. And then Yan Xiaonan, sitting at three, hasn't lost in the UFC. And, of course, Joanna is waiting there too. So they might just be two away just based on who wins certain fights. But I favor Mackenzie in this fight, and I want to see her face Whaley or Rose. It just depends on how all these other fights play out first. Because who's Jan fighting? Carla, right?
Yep. Deficial. Okay.
And then that would be how many wins in a row for Carla? She almost got a title fight anyway because of the Rose in the UFC situation.
Five in a row.
Yeah. So it'd be like five in a row facing Yan Xiaonan, who's what? Also like what? Four in a row, something like that?
In the UFC, Yan Xiaonan's 6-0.
Right. So she's six there. That's, I think, their step ahead. And then Marina, I think, is just a step ahead based solely on the fact that she just TKO'd Amanda, the person that beat Mackenzie. So, but wouldn't hate either one fighting for Mackenzie fighting for the title. Like
I'm not saying Mackenzie deserves it, but we're talking UFC logic here, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave a hard no when I first looked at the question. Now I'm just thinking about, right, where would Nina theoretically be? She is five. You're right. She is actually five in the official rankings right now, in the strawweight contenders rankings. Because, yeah, she handled Claudia Gadelha, who's been top seven, top eight for the longest time. So she took her spot, right? But then she has been away for a long time. So in my personal rankings, I just removed her. But I mean, she doesn't just fall to the bottom of the rankings because of inactivity.
Well,
that is true.
We also have Tatiana teasing a return this summer.
Yep.
So if Mackenzie wins, wouldn't hate that fight. Because
that's probably the fight to make.
Wow. Yeah, because Tatiana beat Nina back in Chicago, and neither of them have fought since. So if Mackenzie then beats Nina and takes her spot, I think what in my rankings, Tatiana would be like four, which would mean Dern would be five. I think that's an awesome fight for the summer.
So she leapfrogs Ribas. Ribas, who, how long was the Ribas fight? Ah, it's like 2 years ago now. Well, no, not even. It's like 18 months ago. It's not even that long ago. So it's like, it's hard for me to put her over Ribas, right? I do feel like Ribas is better.
Amanda's
than
just fought at flyweight once, and then she got TKO'd. So, yeah. But right. Amanda might be the most talented, but in just terms of how the lay of the land is. Because like if Amanda and Marina fought 10 times, I think that's 50-50. I just think Marina clipped her that night and beat her.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Strawweight rules. I don't know. Exactly.
I'm just thinking about the original question. Is she one away? Yeah. That's the thing. Obviously, she's in the mix. One away. So she beats Nina. And
you
then
got
Lemos
sitting there.
Tatiana.
You got Angela's going to fight Amanda. Ribas. So, like, there are so many fights that could, like, shake this up. Because Angela will fight every month, every week. So she's going to be ready no matter what. So for all we know, Angela could be the Kevin Holland of this division, win five in a row, and all of a sudden we're talking about her fighting for the title next.
Yeah.
I think she's at least two away. I'm going two. She's yeah. two. She's two good wins
Dern?
Away.
I agree.
Dern. Yeah, Mackenzie Dern. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to have two wins.
Cool. All right.
Charlotte.
We did the math on that one.
Yeah.
I like that. We did the math.
This is a you question, AK.
Yes. Man, John McDessie. Oh, sorry, I'll read it out. Sorry, John Dangan always with a quick question. Question for me. Thoughts on fellow Canadian John McDessie's return to the Octagon tomorrow? I was very fortunate to watch John before he came to the UFC. His talent was, I mean, evident from the beginning. I remember the show I saw, Matt. He was so clearly a step above the guy he was facing, and you knew that he was bound for bigger things. I don't remember. I don't think it was his last fight. No, it was two fights before he eventually made it to the UFC. And I don't know. The guy has been so inconsistent. I hate that his opponent missed weight because McDessie is not a particularly large lightweight, even though he himself has had weight issues in the past. It's more of like a sort of mass. He's not a very big guy, and I don't like that his opponent, who's fought, I think, the last couple of fights at welterweight, didn't make the weight. So that's an issue. I don't even know if I can favor him in this fight, because I think Bahamanes is a pretty talented guy, and that weight miss bugs me. So I think it's great to see him back. I know it's been over a year. He's only fought once a year since 2018. He fought July, I'm looking at it now, July 2018, March 2019, March 2020, and now April 2021. So it's tough, man. It's tough for a guy like this to find a rhythm. He's getting a little bit up there in age. You know, I'm not saying he's old. He's getting a little up there in age. But yeah, I'm interested to see him return. I do wonder, though, if he gets a loss here, because he's been away for so long and the results have been fairly inconsistent, if he's one of those veterans who ends up on the chopping block. So what a pessimistic thing to say. But if John asked my thoughts, there's my thoughts. Sorry.
You're completely right, though. Mm. This is – listen, they really like Ignacio Bahamontes, especially after that performance on the Contender Series. They like him. They like him a lot. They like Bilal Muhammad, and Ignacio is like one of Bilal's like main training partners and teammates. This is kind of a fight that the UFC is, this is no disrespect to John McDessie, but this is one of those kind of lines of thinking fights where let's hope this young kid just kind of rolls over and kind of rolls and he moves on to bigger and better things. We could push him, and you know, McDessie's got a veteran name that he can build off of. So it's kind of what I'm thinking.
I think the problem with McDessie is, his two most famous fights, he got his head kicked in, both of them, in the Cowboy and Lando fight. Like, when people think John McDessie, they think of Cowboy breaking his jaw and McDessie waving it off in the middle of the fight. And then they think of Lando hitting that wheel kick, and then everyone thought Lando was going to be the next big thing. So, and then to be fair, McDessie's beaten, like, Abel Trujillo and Ross Pearson and Eddie Baghdad and all that stuff, but I just think... Yeah, what Mike said. This is a star-making performance for Medesi's opponent.
Kyle Watson's spinning back fist, which, as I look at it now, was 10 years ago.
In Toronto?
Yeah, 10 years ago in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, that was, I remember that. Yeah,
That was so good.
And the Sky Dome? What's it called? Toronto?
Now the Rogers Center, yeah.
But no, I don't recognize these corporate names. I'm not. They're not paying me to advertise for the Rogers, whatever that is. It's the Sky Dome. Dang it!
Named after Mr. Rogers, Casey.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, yeah, I love that. The Mr. Rogers Dome. That's cool.
In that sense.
Apologies.
Everyone wearing sweaters.
It's amazing. That Medesi Cowboy fight was supposed to be Cowboy Habib too. Medesi stepped in on short notice. That fight card was supposed to be Jones Rumble, and.
Vitor
Weidman and Cowboy Habib, and then all sorts of craziness happened. And the only fight that stayed intact was Weidman Belfort, which had been snake bitten for so many years before that.
Do you remember which was the reason for this particular John Jones removal?
Yeah, he hit a woman and ran away, and then Daniel Cormier got pulled from his fight against Ryan Bader to fight Anthony Johnson for the vacant title.
Right, another fight that we thought was like definitely going to happen someday. And
DC Ryan Bader, that had the greatest. Showdown, the press conference. God dang it!
Yeah. We thought guaranteed to happen. Guaranteed, we thought it's gonna happen someday.
The only time Ryan Bader ever had serious heat on a fight. Only time.
Yeah. That 187 fight card was nuts too. That was the one. Colby fought on the prelims. I'm pretty sure Islam Makhachev like opens the entire card. Joe B fought freaking John Moraga in a scrap, and then everyone forgot about it because Andre Arlovsky and Travis Brown had the greatest one-round fight, not named
Diaz.
So that fight card was absolutely bananas.
And I'm looking, John Dodson fought Zach Makovsky.
Kicked me out of an elevator on that weekend.
he buried the lead.
His entourage maybe we can use the elevator, so I had to leave to make room. I was like, whatever. Your last album sucked.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we'd be remiss if we didn't say RIP to DMX. That was
of course.
Some sad news. Officially passed away today. His family released a statement, just awful. He's been on my gym playlist for years. And listen, Anderson Silva, Ain't No Sunshine, when that music hit, every time he made the walk, it was just magic. It was unbelievable.
So. And we'll hit again soon. We'll hit again. It's going to hit extra hard when he fights Chavez.
Yeah. Hopefully he comes out to that and not like his kids, not as good song.
Maybe a mashup.
Maybe we have an Insane Clown Posse's kid.
Ooh. It's just not as good as the DMX song. That's all. Oh, okay. I didn't say it sucked. I said it's not as good.
DMX is good? Okay.
All right. On that note,
how dare you?
Never was a DMX guy.
Hey, I'm just waiting for the karaoke bars to open up again so we can all have a couple of drinks and sing party up.
What I want to have.
It's going to be Woodstock 99 all over.
He was very influential, very popular rapper, I will say. That's
Casey, when you make your amateur debut, I hope you get, well, I don't hope. I'm assuming you're going to accidentally get matched up with Anderson Silva's kid when he makes his amateur.
What a story that would be. Unreal. All right. Well, listen, more magic hopefully will be made tomorrow. UFC 23 or UFC on ABC 2, whatever you want to call it. We got Bellator coverage going down.
Yeah.
It's going to be an exciting weekend of combat sports action. We're getting out of here. For Casey, AK, and Jose, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow morning, everybody.
That's right.
Happy birthday, AK.
It's not my birthday.
Well, why'd you tell me to mention it then? Weird.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.